All right, this is what I'm talking about. It's a Friday. The Grappler has a jam-packed show. I can just sit back. I'm not going to do a whole lot of work for the next 3 hours. Really going to lean on my line mates, Noodles and O.
Not me today, buddy.
Oh. Are you in mailing in mode or what?
Not happening today, boys.
Okay. Because you started yesterday's show by saying how happy you and you're in a good mood. And
well, yeah. I'll tell you, I know exactly what happened. Hank pissed you off.
No, he didn't. Hank?
Hank is okay.
He's a good boy. Hank hangs by my side.
You woke up and Hank had taken a big dump in your shoes or in your golf cleats or whatever, and you were not happy. What's going on today?
I'll just say this. Thursday night, me and my buddies kind of social distance around a fire pit.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I was watching TV late, and I fell asleep, and I woke up, and Hank was just staring at me on top of the couch, and it scared the hell out of me. Like, he just had this look like, what are you doing? Get it together. So
you're a disaster.
I'll tell you what, it is mail-in Friday. I'll have a pickup truck waiting to screech the tires out of my driveway to go sneak in 9 holes at the Georgian Bay Club.
Ooh, tonight.
You're golfing tonight?
This is the time to do it. Like, these are the longest days of the year. So
longest days of the year. I'll guarantee you we could probably squeeze 18 in teeing off at 7.
You play in 90 minutes, of course you can.
Apparently the way you golf too,
when you hit your shot, you're like me and you don't wait for people and you're ignorant nine. So
you're Ronnie Trump. You're 200 yards ahead of everyone. I love it. Go ahead, O.
No, I was going to say, which is the argument that that Brian Hayes usually makes. He will be back on Monday. And the information that has been leaking is that he was on the course today
and playing quite well.
There's two
falsified statements from the text chain. One was, I actually talked to Brian about an hour ago. He's like, you know, me and Duthie shot a 78, and I was like, okay, lie. Yeah. Wrong. Fake news. And then he's like, and I was great on the front, but then I shot an 82. I kind of blew up on the back. Wrong. Fake news.
82 is a nice score, is it not?
Give me a Ted Cruz, Mullen. Just give me a Ted Cruz.
Lies. Oh, he lies.
To answer your question, Noodles, it depends who you're asking. 82 is good for me, that's for sure, but not for
82 is a great score. 82 is a great score.
You wouldn't take an 82. You'd walk off
when
the course.
No, that's not true. I'm not that good anymore. I can have a good round, but I'm not that good anymore. I could shoot 85 and still have a good day. I don't prefer to shoot 85, but that means you're a good golfer. You're not slashing and hacking it around.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't think that Duthie, first of all, cannot shoot 78, period. I don't care what course.
He's a pretty good golfer, though, isn't he?
No, brutal. I got a hole-in-one with James Duthie. He shot 115.
No.
Yes.
You got a hole in one?
Yes. Yes, I got a hole in one with James Duthie 2 years ago.
Nice. What course?
It was embarrassing because I had to post the scorecard, and it was Duthie like 10, 8, 9, 11, 15. Like, it was a joke. He shot 115.
Duthie just texted me and said truth. So he watched you put a hole in one, and then you watched him chop it around?
And shoot 115. That was his score.
He's definitely honest. I'll give him that. Yeah. 115.
That's tough.
That was a tough one.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. It was ugly.
It was Greg Norman on the back nine at the Masters.
And he gave me the old traditional. Man, like a couple days ago, it was going so good. I've been there.
I was so good on the range yesterday, and then what happened?
I love the guy that's just you text chain, you got buddies. It's like... And I don't want to rat this guy out, but his name's David Lilac from Guelph, Ontario.
I don't want to rat him out, but I will.
via text, he's 83, 84, 85, 82. Show up to his course in Guelph, no good. 110, 99, 98. It's amazing how I never witnessed those 83s and 82s.
Maybe he was nervous playing with you.
No, dude, come on, man.
I don't know. You're NHL star, good golfer. You can get intimidated on a golf course.
I wouldn't be nervous. Would you be intimidated to go golfing with O?
The only time I got intimidated playing golf is when I was with Tour Pros. Because
right. Yeah. Obviously.
Okay,
like
but
are they looking at me? What do they think of this shot? What if I skank one? What if I do this? What if I do that?
People would be nervous around you just because you're a celebrity. So they could have the
Mark,
shanks.
You know me. I'm just a normal guy.
I know
I'm not
you,
a celebrity.
But they don't know you.
Yeah. So what? Everyone knows I'm just an idiot like everyone else in the world. It's not. There's nothing to be intimidated about.
Wow, that's like your byline. An idiot, just like everyone else.
By the way, thanks to the guys at Towel Tag. Did you guys see those
towel
tags? I saw
that video.
They even made a Noodles one, St. Louis Blues. Not that Noodles is ever going to touch a golf course the rest of his life.
I missed that. Where?
Look at this
one. Those are cool.
Hazy B. There's a Hazy B one. Look at this. Wow. Watch right here. Watch right here. This is where I'm going to clean my club and wipe the dirt right here.
TSN 4, you can see the towel.
Wow.
I'm going to wipe the dirt right there.
So, on that guy's mug?
Right on his face. Every time I clean my club, I'm going to put his face right where the dirt mark is on the face of the club and clean it.
We should be clear here for those listening on the radio.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a golf towel with the face of Brian Hayes, Jeff O'Neill, and Noodles, and you zoom right into Brian Hayes' face, and that's where you're going to clean your 5-iron.
They made one for me, too. That's very nice of them. Nice. Yeah. St. Louis Blues, but can you
And a Calgary one.
Can you use it as like a bottle opener, too? Like it looks like you can pop something off. And
that would be pretty cool.
No.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'm going to use it somehow. Can I hook it to my belt and walk around?
Probably.
That would be pretty cool.
Just wipe things around the house?
That's a tough one style-wise, I'm not going to lie.
It's like a fanny pack.
Yeah. Put your lanyard on it for work or something.
Listen, I'm going to somehow find a way to use that. That's really cool. I missed that. And I usually on Twitter, and I'm usually kind of zooming around. When did you post that?
Like an hour ago.
Yeah, like an hour ago.
You know
just
what?
Came
I was
mail
on
today.
I was on a Zoom call with a friend, and I just have not. Oh. I've been absent of Twitter for about 45 minutes. So you miss some special things. That's really cool. I like that.
Was that friend a friend of the show, Jason Strudwick, who will be joining us in a couple of minutes?
No, I usually, I mean, I am going to have a chat with him tomorrow on a personal level, but I'll tell you what, I think we got to have Struddy on. We got to check out his workout routine. What else are we going to talk to Struddy about? Oh,
see if he has his tight jeans on.
Yeah.
He's going to be able to take a peek in Edmonton like the old days. Yeah, I just want one take a peek story. I just want one where it was like a Monday movie night and just someone... And don't, by the way, Noodles, don't act like Struddy was always the one saying, hey, you want to go take a peek. You know damn well that you placed a couple calls saying, Struds, do you want to take a peek?
Struds, it's Monday night. We got to go check out, Overtime or one of these
but
bars.
But was there ever one where it was, you got back from a movie, hey, Struddy, you want to take a peek, and then you crawl home at 7 in the morning? Was there ever a take a peek that went too far? Save it for Struddy.
Yeah, okay. I'm trying to think now. There was always a take a peek that took it too far. But, I'm trying to remember one particular story.
I already know how this story goes. You can't remember the one where you were a goon, and Struddy won't remember the story where he was a goon.
I don't know.
And it'll just be a back and forth.
We had some fun times back in the day. Now we're
That's
just
our segment with Struddy, by the way. It's Take a Peek with Jason Strudwick.
I'm taking notes because this is my first time chatting with Jason, so I look forward to that.
Well, here's
up.
A little side note. Taking a peek back in the day for Jamie and Struddy was... Just go pop your head into a club or a bar or a pub.
Yeah.
And it would end up being an absolute
putting
disgrace.
A clinic on the dance floor and drinks and shots and all of that.
I heard a lot of St. Louis stories about having to drive across the city to get to practice in the morning, but I don't know.
You go over to East St. Louis.
I heard those more from Chaser than you, but I'm sure you were involved.
Chaser was a good chaperone.
Yeah, he was, I bet. So Struddy's going to join us at 4:25. He is champion for Edmonton to be a hub city. We also found out that phase two is going to open up on Monday.
Yeah.
Edmonton is one of the cities that will open up on Monday and will open up to some local players, but it really is a case-by-case scenario. Like the Leafs will open on Monday, but Montreal won't and the Jets won't, but it's really who's in the city and who actually wants to use our ice. Because as always pointed out all week long, we're still over a month away from training camp. And why would Austin Matthews leave Arizona to come up here and use the ice here is if he's able to get to some ice in Arizona with Freddie.
Well, why not get the quarantine over with? And I think it's important for that guy, if this is actually happening, I think it's it would be important for him to be around. He's one of those guys. Like, I don't know if you agree, Jamie, but I always thought, like, the star players, they just have a presence about them where you're always, you know, when they were hurt, it was a big absence in the locker room. They're just, when they're not around, they have a presence, man. Everybody loves hanging out and being around great players. That's
Yeah, you're right. Shea Weber was injured a couple years ago. He still traveled with the team. He just wanted to be a presence around. Now, I'm not comparing that to Austin Matthews. The only thing I would say, and I'll be honest, and this is just my personal preference of it, I don't know if I would want to rush back to Toronto right now given the numbers. Like, they're not, you're seeing them come out every day. You're like,
okay,
they're not going to
festivals and raves.
They're going to the
rink and practicing and going home. They could probably have a car service if they didn't want to drive.
You're right. But he's going to have to take a private bird. Like, I wouldn't want to go. I mean, I'm sure Pearson is doing its best, but you're in a spot. Now you're in an airport. Like, I think he would wait. Like, I think he's a guy that'll probably wait a week, 10 days before making his way back.
If I had the money MLSE had, I'd get all my guys back in a private bird if I had to. Just say, look, you don't want to go to an airport? Fine. Well, try to get to this place and we'll get on a bird.
It's a maximum of six guys on the ice, and you can do two groups, it sounds like. And it's places like Arizona that have like filled up those groups faster than any other city. I'm sure there's other ones as well, but because there are a lot of players that are in Arizona right now.
Right.
And my question for you guys, and O kind of answered it, what is the benefit of getting there and being a part of the team's facility this early when you don't have to and when training camp's a month away? But if it means, you know, if you're a star player, and I'm sure you're looking back to when you played with like Ron Francis or Matt Sundin, you know, when those guys are around, it in a way, kind of almost through osmosis, it like brings everyone's level up a little bit, the intensity up, and you're seeing Austin Matthews wire a few wrist shots, and you're like, okay, yeah, I remember now what NHL hockey was like.
Yeah, you make a great point, and Ope makes a great point as far as having, you know, star power around, having that feeling, that
it's
presence.
Big, man.
It is, but I just think this is such a unique scenario. Like, there's no, you know, if this was regular season and you want guys back early to train together and get excited for the season, I get that. But I think there are still guys that have a layer of like, what the hell's going on here? I don't know if I want to go back until it's actually we kind of get the all clear. Especially, as you guys know, you chat with a guy like Tyson Nash who's in Arizona. He's like, man, you know, life is somewhat normal here. I went out for dinner the other night. He was telling me he went out for dinner. Yeah, it was social distance still. Like, the tables out on the patio were spaced out. He said it was weird because the person that was serving him was wearing a mask. You got a paper napkin. But he was like, it was amazing to sit on a patio, have a beer, have a meal. It felt normal again. He's like, I went on a date with my wife. It was awesome. Like that, you know, would you want to trade that in to come into here and go, yeah, I'm going to sit around here for a month and hopefully the numbers get sorted out. So I can see I'm defending Austin Matthews in that right.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like playing golf here. Like, there are differences, but once you're playing, it still feels it's like you'd be playing golf at any time. It's just you can't go into the clubhouse after and have a beer.
Have you golfed, Mark?
I've only golfed once. But
and how was it? Like, how was your experience of it?
It was a lot busier than I thought. It was a Monday morning. We were golfing, and it was filled. But,
I found golf to be completely normal. After the round, I played with three buddies the other day. We just kind of gave the knuckle up instead of a handshake. I don't know. It's kind of whatever you want to do within your group. It's like social distancing. You want to stand beside a guy and say, what's this putt, dude? Nobody cared. Like, it was normal.
Right.
And I totally agree with Ray Ferraro, where he said he kind of felt normal on the golf course, and I know I live a great life when I get to go to a golf course. That's the one place where it was like, man, this feels good to get out and play golf. That was where I could get away and be like, man, this kind of feels normal because nothing else in the world is normal right now. And that's the one place I get to go to where I'm like, this feels good. Like, I needed this.
I
needed
agree.
The golf course.
You know what my place, my safe space is a theater. But I'll be honest, I the other day, I think theaters are drive-in theaters are opening this weekend. I thought I read.
Yeah, I've
Barry,
seen a
there's one in Barry and the Starkist.
You're going to hit one up, Noodles?
I think with the family, it would be nice. I mean, you make your own popcorn, you sit in the car, you drive up, you watch a movie. It's nice just to get out of the house to do something and have something to do. So if, you know, I don't know. I haven't been to a drive-in in probably 30 years, so I don't know what the premise is. It used to be like there was either a speaker or you put it on your AM radio now. But if it's out there and if it's available, because I would imagine everyone else has the same idea, I would like to go at some point with the family and go check it out. And if the kids fall asleep, you know, Steph and I could watch a late. There's two movies going on, so I think it would
you
be fantastic.
You and Stephanie can hold hands and be romantic and watch the movie.
I don't know. She'd fall asleep too. It'd be awesome.
You can you can tell them about your childhood / teenage years. How you know, maybe you had some dates at a drive-in. I don't know how much information
I
you
never
actually
had it. I never had a date at a drive-in. I think I missed that stage. You know, it used
that
to be
was
bigger.
A little before our time.
I was gonna that for the generation a little older than us.
I'm not on Happy Days. You know, I bet you Taddy had the Tat Man.
Taddy
you
did
know
some work.
He was at the drive-in
at Starlight
theater.
Starlight drive-in.
Just combing his cookie duster right in the drive-in.
He's 16, but he's got the mustache already. Oh,
yeah, for sure.
For sure. Oh,
and the tightest jeans ever.
Play that again, the Yes Guy.
Yes Guy.
I honestly, I need to hear that all day long.
Yes Guy.
I love it. But you know the Tat Man went
he did
to
some work.
A drive-in for sure.
He was,
for sure.
He was all over the popcorn. He wants
oh, yeah. Guy.
It's like he's with us.
I love it. No, I miss that kind of window, so I would like to go, and that maybe will feel a little bit normal for me. But
you know what? Let me know if you're going, because we might do that tomorrow night. Drive over to Barrie. It's only half an hour. We might go check out a movie at the movie theater.
Nice.
Well, it's probably going to be packed. I think it's the first weekend. I don't know. Like, you'd probably have to buy tickets online. I just saw that it was like, okay, you know, they've loosened – you know, some of the restrictions and movie theater. So I called right away and the message said, hey, we're still working through the process. He went on the website. It's like, hey, we're still trying. We're going to try and open June 4th or whatever. So it may have opened last night or maybe tonight. I don't know. I'm going to give it a few days to kind of let it breathe. But, you know, I think that Ontario, they want to open. People want to get outside. People want to do things. But, you know, I was asked by a friend today, like, would the, you know, the protests, stuff like that, would the numbers maybe, you know, go up or spike,
shoot up,
you know, within the next couple of weeks because there has been, you know, some gatherings.
I wonder, you know, we saw some numbers go up this past weekend, which was a week after the Trinity Bellwoods situation.
Right.
It's so tough to follow those numbers.
I don't know.
Like, it's so mind-numbing. And
well,
also,
for me, guys, it's
disheartening. They're testing way more than they were in the past, so the percentage is better.
Right.
It's really, at this point, controlling it.
Like, yeah.
You've said for a while, until they get a vaccine, you know, that you're always going to be playing with numbers.
And that's it. That's it for this talk. We've done too much of it. No more on a Friday.
How about
testing results, numbers, enough. I've had it.
How about this then?
What?
Coming up, 5:45, Al's brother.
Wow.
You got me.
Turtleneck.
You made my day.
Turtleneck.
If he has a turtleneck right now, he will
it's
have
It's 32 degrees
slass.
In Niagara right now.
Yeah, but he could have a turtleneck on and he could be wearing his underpants too.
Yeah,
so
it would be full of duck butter. Just it'll be just a crime scene in his underpants.
Yeah, I mean, it won't go well. He'll have to throw him right in the garbage. You know
garbage.
That.
Garbage. Yeah.
All right,
like, so he'll just peel it off.
We got Al's brother coming up, and also Mark Masters 625, a little trivia.
I love it. Head to head.
You gotta beat him. You are the face of tennis and
a lot of
the
pressure.
Face of Maple Leafs hockey.
All that coming up, but first, Jason Strudwick at 4:25.
Yes.
Friend of the show.
It's Let's called Take a Peek with Jason Strudwick.
We'll be taking a peek when we return here on TSN 1050, TSN 4, and the TSN app. Overdrive continuing. Mark Rowe in for Brian Hayes alongside Jamie McLennan and Jeff O'Neill. The 4 o'clock hour is brought to you by LeaseBusters. They'll rescue you from your car lease. LeaseBusters, heroic. Maybe. Helpful? Totally. People would love to take over your car lease for your lease relief. Go to leasebusters.com. And joining us now on the show, friend of the show, it's time for Take a Peek with Jason Strudwick. How are you, Struddy?
Oh, God. What is going Strudy. On? I knew something was up.
Strudy, I just want to get. I want to take a deep dive into the taking a peek, and I want to know, back in the day, who called who more? Was it you calling Noodles, or was Noodles calling you saying, let's go take a peek? And there's a follow-up.
I'll say this. So when I was a young, like I met Noodles, I was around maybe 18 or 19. And I was a pretty naive young guy. Like I was pretty straight, you know, that didn't really do too much.
But he cut that Noodles. Crap out.
Oh, no. I was, you know, of course I was pretty good looking, but I was just a nerd. I wore sweatpants till I was in grade 10. Sweatpants till grade 10. And I thought I was cool. I was the biggest tool around. At least I had my cousin Scott Rob Niedermeyer. I look cool next to those guys, and they were nerds too. So I'd say it was Noodles calling me. I was a very welcome follower. He's like, let's just go take a peek. See, it can't hurt. Let's just check what's out. And okay, inevitably, it wasn't just one beer. It was usually a whole night.
Okay, well, that's what I want to know. Was there ever a night, like a movie, quiet night, the call was placed, let's go take a peek, and it ever, like, did it ever turn into an absolute sideshow where it's 6 a.m. home time?
Oh, so Noodles loved movies. You know, like, he'd always want to go to movies, and I'd go to his house sometimes. He had a great setup. And I remember one time we went over there and we were just watching movies. Like, why don't we just have a Ryan Coke? And I said, why not? It's Saturday night. Let's just have a let's have one. So next thing I know, I think we were at Barry T's till like 3, and then all hell, people came back to Noodle's house. It was so funny. I remember telling my mom, dad, like, I'll be home by like 11. I think I was home like 11 the next day. It was unbelievable.
Just a casual Ryan Coke, Strudy. Yeah. Any interest?
Oh, it was unreal that we actually, Noodles and I, we went on a trip with a bunch of people we kind of knew to Hawaii. And I don't know if you remember this, Noodles, but we were on there, and at some point I decided to take the middleman out. So what is even Ryan Coke anymore? It was just rye. And from then on, the waiter would come by like, take the middleman out. I'll just take the rye and ice. And
Take the middleman out.
Yeah, it didn't go well. Wow.
That's so right. Barry T's was the bar of choice for taking a peek?
Well, there was that. What was on the White Avenue? Was it Club Malibu on South
Side?
Oh,
yeah. Monday nights, that place was good.
Yeah.
That was
Iron Horse. The Iron Horse is very popular. Very popular. We stop there often.
Yeah, but there was some legendary places. I agree. There were some legendary places.
Well, you've made O's Day by some.
That got me fired up. Like, I love that. So that's the National League.
By the way, Strudy.
You know what?
I was going to say it's an honor to be able to interview you for the first time. I'm filling in for the one and only Brian Hayes, and these guys. They gave me some tips, and one of the questions that I was supposed to ask, tight jeans, question mark?
Are you wearing your tight jeans today?
No, today I've got the shorts on. You know, it's pretty warm here in Edmonton, O-Dogs, so we can't, I can't be wearing the jeans all the time, so I have the shorts on. They're not quite as tight. I like a little bit more. I like a little bit baggier short. You know, I've seen some guys, like you think of Dave Hasselhoff in Baywatch, what's it called, Baywatch or whatever. Yeah, and I'm not that guy. I like a little bit of room to move when it comes to shorts. Pants or jeans, tighter the better. Tighter the better.
Tighter.
So when you buy jeans, you tell the lady at the store you want, like, nude-hugging, like the Stranglers, not Wranglers.
That's right. Yeah, there's a chance I might lose consciousness because it's sucking all the blood stays in my feet. Put them on. Okay. You know, I think, honestly, it's my wife. I think it's my wife that she actually buys my jeans, and I think that she does it. She's got a motive, right? Like, I think I've told you guys before, but I can't walk upstairs in front
this
of her. You know,
it
sets the tone. I can't do it. It's just, I refuse to do it. Or if I do it, I got to walk up the stairs backwards.
Wow. Strudy, what are you hearing in Edmonton as far as the NHL? Are they going to get it done there or what?
Good segue.
See, Yeah, I think that, you know what?
I think your premier wants it.
I'd say you're right about that. He's making a big push. But you know what? I think that Edmonton's in a good position to host it. With everything that's going on in the U.S. right now and a lot of momentum and that, you know, I don't know how easy it is to rule out a Canadian city. So I think Edmonton will be right down to the end. I think Vancouver's well positioned, to do it. And, you know, but Edmonton, it has everything you need. The low cases, the rink, and then the practice rink right beside it. The hotels are all within striking distance. So, you know, I think it's a good case. If it goes somewhere else, I think people will get it too. You know, they're trying to make the best decision they can. But, just from what I know of the city, I think that this would be it's really uniquely and well set up for what they'd be looking for.
In talking to people around the city, Strud, would you think that the city would embrace it? And what I mean by that is people that, you know, say the National Hockey League's going to book off, you know, the Ranch golf course or, you know, a different type of golf course. You know, are people willing to go, all right, you know, I get that because the league needs certain things, but it may cut into, I guess, an everyday person's luxury.
Well, they're not going to no private golf club. They're not going to no private golf club and say, you guys are shutting down for Vegas Golden Knights to tee it up. People will say, go stuff it. They don't pay $10,000 a summer for a hockey team to come in and take your tee times.
What's
not
Edmonton's
happening.
Version of Tam O'Shanter? They can just take over one of those, right?
Yeah. You know what's funny is I think that you're right. As far as the city, like, I agree with Owen. I don't think they're going to get the best golf course unless they have some small times. But there's others around Edmonton. There's one called Highlands. It would be about a 50-minute drive from downtown. And it's a nice little course. So there's opportunities there. But as far as the city itself, like, I don't think that there'll be a huge uptick because, you know, we're still here. We've got a social distance just like everywhere else. There's a maximum at all the bars. I don't see a lot of people flying in just to watch to watch the Leafs play or whoever play in Edmonton on TV, you know. So I don't know how many people actually be coming to the city for it.
No, you can't go to the game, Strud. There's no sense.
No, that's what I'm saying. So I think what you'll find is that I think there'll be a lot of people, and this will be unique, but you're going to be on your deck with some buddies watching the game in the summer. And I think that is, I'm looking forward to that type of setup, right? Because you're going to have it be nice, warm, and here in Edmonton, God, it's light till midnight, in July. So I think there's a really neat opportunity for something cool, like for the NHL to embrace that and kind of get that message like, hey, it's summertime, let's watch some hockey. So, you know, I think the people in Edmonton, I don't think it'll have a huge impact on the city. The golfers it might, but other than that, I just don't see it really changing anything really dramatic for the people of Edmonton to really have to adjust for.
Strudy, you feel pretty good about the Oilers going into this situation?
Well, if you look at the first round matchup, I think the biggest concern I have is Corey Crawford. You know, best of three, if he comes in and is really on his game, he can make it tough for the Oilers. I know that Patrick Kane's there, but the Oilers have some pretty good firepower as well. But I think that Corey Crawford is the big wild card. I think he could be the most important player in the whole series because he could really tip the scales. We saw him do some things this year. And then, when you look at center position, I think the Oilers are stronger down the middle. The defense pretty young in Chicago. You know, does Calvin DeHaan come back? All those things. So I feel like they should be well positioned to be in a favorite in this series. But the goaltending of Corey Crawford, I think, is a big wild card. The Oilers can't let that guy be the deciding factor.
Well, that's what concerns me too, Strud, is when you look at the Oilers, they've made a lot of improvements, but you know, how much does this time hurt a guy like Mike Smith, who's 36 or 7, and goaltending's going to be anything, and it's not, you mentioned Corey Crawford. It's going to be right across the board. 24 teams, whoever gets a hot goalie at the right time, whether we've been talking about whether Bobrovsky wakes up and goes, oh, I am a Vezina winning goaltender, or, Carey Price does, does something. But if Mike Smith looks like a guy that looks like it's the age has caught up to him, it's going to be a struggle in Edmonton. That's why I'm so fascinated with what's going to go down here. Cause you're right. Like, it could be as simple as Corey Crawford steals three games and Chicago's through, and Edmonton, that they had a fantastic season, they could be on the outside looking in.
Well, no, that's exactly it. You think about, let's say, because I think that the games are going to be really chaotic, and I think there's going to be, what happened in the beginning of the season, I don't think it translates directly to what we're going to see in this start. You know, who's been looking after themselves, maybe who's a little bit out of shape or who isn't sharp. And you can't ease your way into these games. You know, those two exhibition games, if I was a coach in the NHL, I would say, okay, we're playing two exhibition games, guys. We want to combine goals, win these games, win this series or whatever. Kind of like you see in soccer. So the guys have something that they have to get their head dialed in for competition. And then you go into your first series, which is, you know, the play-ins. Say, guys, we need to get off to a good start. That's your first shift. I want everyone up and ready to go. Because if you're the Oilers and Corey Crawford, let's say he beats them in that first game, which is a possible, you know, could happen. Then you get down the second game, you're down two, let's say you're down 2-0 in the second period. Like, oh my God, we might be down, you know, 2-0 in a best of five. So you can't feel your way into it. So I think those exhibition games really are critical to coaches getting guys to understand how hard they've got to be, how hard they got to play, and how much they have to be ready for that drop of the puck.
Strutty, do you share my frustration with, like, it seems like the NBA just came out and had all the dates and it was all dialed up, and we still don't even know where we're going. I just find it a little bit frustrating. I don't know why, because it's still so far away, but it's like, why couldn't the NHL just come with heat? Like, here's the dates. Here's where we're doing it. Here's what we're doing. Here's the draft. Here's the next season. I think that's just, it's almost comforting for a fan.
Yeah, it is. You know, in the NBA, it seemed like they knew where they're going to play for forever, right? That ESPN position they have there in Florida. Yeah. And for the NHL, it just seems it's a little harder. And you know, I think now with what we're seeing around North America, with all the marches, I think it makes it a little bit harder in some ways, because, you know, can you project what a city that's going through some, or a lot of the cities are going through, what that's going to look like in a month or 2 months? So that's why I honestly think that, you know, the Canadian cities, in just for that reason alone, and the dollar, might be easier choices, because I think those choices have to be made rather soon. So I don't really get frustrated, though. Like, I think this is such a unique situation that everyone's just trying to figure it out on the fly. I mean, it took me a month to figure out how to get my daughter on a Google call with her teacher. So, and that was, you know, so I got to give the NHL a little bit of credit. If they're going to bring out, what is it, 20 or 24 teams into two different cities, I got to give them a little bit of a leeway.
Well, we got a month to figure out training camp, I guess. And today we found out phase two at least begins on Monday. Although, what is phase two? Because every city and every NHL team is kind of handling it differently. Edmonton is going to open up their facility. They have a few local players, and we were talking about it before you came on. Like, how important would it be for you to get back to your city and be in that sort of facility, even though there would only be a couple of guys on the ice at a time?
It's hard because with the families. Like, my wife and I had this talk. Let's say, you know, I played for whoever, Carolina. I would go back right away, as soon as I could. Like, I'd be heading, trying to get back there right away so I could get set up and start getting my mind set into playoff hockey. But, you know, when I played in NHL, I didn't have kids. So it's easy for me to leave. I don't have kids. Now you have two or three kids or a newborn or, you know, a wife who's concerned about, you know, whatever's going on. So it's a little hard decision when you have family. You know, like I heard Patrick Laine, he'll play anywhere. Well, it's pretty easy. He just needs a stick and a video game to play, right? That's a pretty easy. But when you have families, it's harder. But that being said, I still would want to go. I would want to be where I want, because I'm like, okay, we're doing this. I've got to get my head wrapped around, because I've said it once, I feel it very strongly. There's an opportunity. The team that starts, that's ready and strong and ready to go, they're going to be good to go. And I think we're going to see some upsets in that first play-in round or whatever. I think you're going to be surprised. And there's an opportunity for a team that maybe, you know, underperformed during the year, and all of a sudden they're like, hey guys, let's get dialed in, and they come out firing, and you get on a roll. You know, you can make quite a bit of a push into the playoffs.
Strutty, before we get you out of here, do you have any more taking a peek tales? Was there ever like a double down where you took a peek and you were rough and you got a workout in, and then maybe you were watching a movie and then a Ryan Coke and it's just back to back? Was there ever back to back taking a peek?
Oh, there was lots of the back-to-back. And I'll share this story, though. We go to Vegas, and most people go for 3 nights. Noodles decide we're going for 5 nights.
Wow, that is ridiculous.
I couldn't believe it. I almost died second day, and I think I pulled myself out of the fire. So the last day, it's me, Noodles, everyone else had left, and this guy, Sean Haggerty, who played a bit in the NHL.
Oh, yeah.
And we're hanging out, and like we're all by the pool, and I can't last night, guys. Let's have a good one. Noodles is like, I can't come with you guys. We're like, what? He's like, I can't come with you guys. I'm like, what are you talking about? We're in Vegas. He's like, actually, I have a date. So if I remember correctly, Noodles took a girl on a date. They went bowling. They went bowling in Vegas.
What?
I was so mad. I'm like, what are you doing? You never leave a man behind. Like,
no, the man card gets put into a wood chipper for that.
He organized the trip.
It was a day date. It wasn't like it was at 10 o'clock at night or whatever. It was like a day date for a beer at like 2:30 in the afternoon.
At a bowling alley?
I don't know.
It was bowling. I remember he said they shared a ball. It was so romantic.
Oh, stop it. Now he's believing it. Now he's just
they
making things up.
They shared a ball.
I couldn't believe it. He was. I used an 11-pound ball so she could use it. I didn't want to get a 14 and be a hero. I couldn't believe it.
Wow. Take a peek with Jason Strudwick. That doesn't win a Canada Scrum.
It is now a thing. Taking a peek with Struddy.
We'll have to. You guys will have to continue that with Hayes when he comes back.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Unreal.
Awesome stuff. Anything you want to leave us? You know that we can maybe play for Brian. Something about Edmonton being a better vacation spot than Toronto, or you just want to?
Well, I hope he's excited about Mitch Marner coming back. You know, Mitch is excited and Brian's excited. It's going to be a good moment for that family.
It's going to be great.
for that family.
Well, on that note, we appreciate you coming on the show.
Buddy.
Have a great weekend. Enjoy the baggy shorts. And pleasure as always.
Thanks, Strud.
See you guys anytime. See you later.
There you go. Friend of the show, Jason Strudwick from TSN 1260 in Edmonton.
That guy just makes you want to laugh. Like, he just puts a smile on your face.
He's always up for a story and a...
Yeah, very friendly guy.
I assume he was like that as a player, like it was a natural transition.
You know he was a pain in the ass as a player. He was no nonsense on the ice.
Yeah, he played tough. He played a tough game, but that's the one thing. Like, Jason he's an intelligent guy. He understood exactly what it took to play in the NHL for his size, what he needed to do. Like, he was solid. That's the one, he was really loved in the room. Like, you want to talk about the definition of glue, guys. Like, that's a guy that you always wanted to be around, and, you know, a lot of fun. But, like, seriousness, like, he came to play every night. Like, he, you know, he had a little throwback in him, some old school. But, you know, that's the type of person you loved having as a teammate. You know, we've had a lot of fun, a lot of laughs over the years. He's pretty, you know, I played with him in the minors, too. Like, ironically, like, I am older than Jason, so I used to host the pro ice in the summers, and Strudwick started coming out, and Tyson Nash, and again, some of these younger players started showing up, and then I started hanging out with them and going out with them and having some fun, and then Jason got drafted to the Islanders. I was already with the Islanders, so we ended up going to camps together, and we were in the minors together, and so we've kind of gone through the ups and downs through the career. So it's cool. It's been a long, long friendship for sure.
Well, I always enjoy when he's on the show with you guys, so he was great once again today. Still to come, major news in the broadcasting world. Yep. We'll talk about that. Baseball still at a stalemate and how it's really just over $10 million a team, which is separating the two sides. That and much more as Overdrive continues on TSN 1050, TSN 4, and streaming on the TSN app. Overdrive with Mark Rowe, Jamie McLennan, and Jeff O'Neill continuing here on TSN 1050 and TSN 4. Coming up a little bit later at 5:05, our hockey insider Pierre LeBrun. In the 6 o'clock hour, Joe Bowen, the voice of the Maple Leafs, will join us. Talk about what he's been told about calling this Leafs-Columbus Blue Jackets series, which we assume will get going at the end of July or early August. And speaking of broadcasters, huge news today. Chris Cuthbert, our friend, our colleague, one of the best voices in the history of broadcasting in this country, is off to Hockey Night in Canada. So it's a tough loss for us, but you know, anyone that's been able to work with him will say he was obviously a great broadcaster, but what a great gentleman, and we're happy to see him go off and call a Stanley Cup final, hopefully.
Yeah, he's a lifelong friend for me, and you know, a big part of my development as a color guy. And like I say, happy for an opportunity for him. Sad, you know, day, but ultimately, you know, you move on, and he's just, there's so many good stories about Chris. He's just a great person, so we wish him all
great
the best.
Great person, unreal talent, like legend, Hall of Famer, deal. Him leaving, I'm not commenting on that because I'll probably have to leave myself if I give my true thoughts on that, but...
Okay.
I don't know how you legend, like, it just, I don't know. He's
we love the guy. But you know what?
How does he leave? I don't know.
He always treated, and I know you guys will say the same thing, but he always treated me like an equal, which was is ridiculous.
Greatest guy, greatest broadcaster, legend. I don't know. Yeah. I don't get that.
But you know what? It's good. You know what? We're
we're happy awesome for him.
Life goes on.
And big loss for the
CFL.
For
us. Yeah. Big loss for TSN, period.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
It would be a huge loss if baseball cannot have a season, and you think of their opportunity if, you know, everything kind of worked out smoothly. They could be playing in a couple weeks, I would think, if they got, you know, if they had maybe the Arizona, Florida, playing, whatever. Jeff Passan, in his kind of latest report that you can see on TSN.ca, what struck me is when he broke it all down, it really comes down to like $10 million a team. Like, that's what's separating things. And how both sides are like, we're not moving, but then you listen to everyone in the know, and the response is, yeah, they're still going to play, though. You know,
right.
And they kind of, like, it's, you don't know why they have that confidence, but, like, man, it's just, and I get that it's a business, and you, like, if you're a player, you got to make sure that you're taken care of, but this is, it looks so bad, and what are the big picture ramifications if you do lose this season?
Well, that's the hardest part, Mark. Like, we've talked about it before as far as the National Hockey League and the NBA. Like, they're finishing their seasons. They're trying to, you know, scrunch in the rest of the regular season in basketball and playoffs, and same thing with playoffs with hockey. Major League Baseball, it was just ramping up. They were just getting going.
And, Jamie, Mark talked about how devastating it was, I believe, in 95.
94, but into the 95 season, yeah.
Right, so now there's the built-in idea that you're not even going to the ballpark anyway. So people, they just want a little bit of a nudge.
Sure.
And they'll be like, you know what, I'm done. I'm not going for a year anyway to a ball game. So if these guys want to play this game, I don't even care about it, period. And they'll really pack it in. They will really pack it in and say, that's enough, no thanks, goodbye.
That's the thing. You know what? In you're looking at two massive things right now in front of us, COVID and the civil unrest. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those are two major, major issues going on. And people are upset. They're frustrated. They're hypersensitive. And then baseball's kind of rolling through going, you know, you've got players that are upset, owners that are upset.
Right.
Like, people are you know, losing jobs, they're on unemployment, they're upset about what's been going on, and they're going, and it comes back to it. Mark, you've said this before, millionaires versus billionaires. And, like, people, you know, an average person's like, why the hell do I care? Like, why would I care about this battle? And I get it. Owen and I have been through work stoppages. We've been through, you know, lockouts and stuff. There's not a lot of sympathy out there for people. And you know what? There's not another layer of sympathy given what's going on in the world today. So it's a bad look on everyone when it comes to baseball, because you're right, Mark. They could be playing in a couple weeks. You know, sports is an entertainment. Maybe it is an escape for a lot of people. Like, I, you know, if there was a baseball game on tonight, I'd watch it, because there's nothing else to
watch.
We're
watching Korean baseball right now.
Yes, we are. And there are people that are, like, getting into it, too, which is, I'm not
the stuffed animals in the crowd. It's
right, but
I'm
just saying, like, so people are getting frustrated. That's just another layer of why you're frustrated with it, you know, is because baseball has an opportunity here, and, you know, I'm not going to. You know,
well, I think if you're the Jays and you're not obviously you're not expected to win now,
right.
But you're selling Vladdy and Bo and
right.
Kevin Biggio, yep. Nate Pearson and Ryu came over from the Dodgers this year. Like, this is a window not necessary to win. Obviously, they expect to win in a couple seasons, but to market and to kind of get everyone back excited about the team after the Donaldson and Bautista kind of era ended. So it's.
Yeah.
It's rough.
You're right.
Everyone keeps saying they're going to play. It might only be 50 games, which will be kind of cool because every game really matters. I'm sure that a lot of baseball purists will say there's an asterisk next to everything because you know, they're so committed to 162 games and those records, right. And what you know, a team like the Blue Jays could be competitive, as we've talked about all week. So,
yeah.
Anyways,
exactly.
Hopefully we'll have some news next week about that. Jam-packed 5 o'clock hour: Pierre LeBrun, Leo Routens, Al's brother. I don't know who's the bigger star, but it's a pretty big cast of characters right there.
Yeah.
The 4 o'clock hour was brought to you by LeaseBusters. LeaseBusters will get you out of your car lease today. It's easy as pie, a piece of cake. Avoid penalties and early termination fees. Visit LeaseBusters.com. Overdrive continues on TSN 1050, TSN 4, and the TSN app.